You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. I'm Rick Cushman. So we were just talking about the joy of wild mushrooms. Our next guest, author Alicia Funk, says there are so many benefits to our lives, as she calls it, living wild. By that, she means connecting with the natural world, with the native plants all around us, growing our own, and using them for food and even to heal. Her book is called Living Wild, Gardening, Cooking, and Healing with Native Plants of California. And she's with us to tell us more. And she brought Manzanita cider. Alicia, welcome to Insight, and thanks for bringing us cider.
Thanks for having me here, Rick.
All right. So, and I understand Daniel, by the way, is a contributor to your book. Is that correct?
Yes, he did. He contributed. I have a section of some simple to identify edible mushrooms and recipes in the Living Wild book. So Daniel contributed those. So.
And as he just said, make sure you look at the pictures, right?
Exactly.
Right. Your book is a combination. It's gardening and cooking and making medicines. But there is behind it this sense that you talk about living wild. Could you sort of explain that?
Yes. What I mean by living wild is really developing a deep connection with the place you live. So my family has decided to really, we try to eat healthy. We grow food in our garden. We eat organic, shop organic, but we just decided we really wanted to take it to the next level. And we feel that eating what grows right around us, becoming familiar and how to use those as food and medicine are the next step for us.
Well, and in your book, you list a handful of reasons why, and some of them are a little bit obvious. Obviously, there is a carbon neutral nature to it, or at least an environmental protection. But you talk about some other things, including nutrition and protecting biodiversity. And so part of this is what you're saying is basically eat that there are so many native plants available, so many native things available to us that it would, in essence, expand our diet. Is that the right correct point? Do I have that right?
Yes, expand it and deepen it into a direction that's really more nutritious. I was really curious about some of the health benefits of our native California foods. And so I sent them off to the lab for testing. And it turns out that several of our native California fruits, manzanita, elderberry, and madrone, for example, are three times higher in antioxidants than blueberries and pomegranates. So right here around us, there's just an abundance that's available to us and that really provides a key to our nutritional puzzle.
Well, I think you have a line in the book, too, which I thought was a little interesting, where you said that nowadays we sort of eat maybe 30 different species of, and 200 years ago, an indigenous Californian's diet would have like 1,000 different species of plants. What were the sorts of things that they were eating?
Well, basically, there is a knowledge base. We've kind of lost our user's manual for how to inhabit the place that we're living now. The user's manual that I'm trying to recreate is basically a guide to not just what foods would we enjoy or would we be able to survive on if we were lost in the woods, but what things would we enjoy and what things could we benefit from a health standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you talk about both cultivating native plants as well as finding them. Are there keys to growing, the kinds of things that we tend not to grow in our gardens?
Yes, there are. First of all, the native plants are a beautiful addition to people's individual home landscapes. So there's native plant nurseries. The California Native Plant Society has a list on their website, cnps.org, which lists all the native plant nurseries where you can buy these plants and just add them to your own backyard. So that makes foraging a lot easier when you can just step outside your door.
Is it easier? Do they grow better? I mean, if we're picking up native plants that are native to the Sacramento region,
yes.
Are they just simply easier to grow than something that we've decided is pretty and we want it in our garden?
Definitely. That's one of the things that I was attracted to by this is that it's great to grow your own food. We all love our garden produce, living locally and all of that. But really, native foods there's no fencing required. You don't need a lot of fertilizers, compost, less water. So from that standpoint, it's a lot easier than your typical garden crops.
By no fencing, you mean they don't need to be trained to stay within a something?
I mean that typically if you're going to grow a garden and you have any kind of wildlife around, your garden crops won't last long.
Right.
But the native crops are, the deer aren't as interested. So they're used to seeing the native plants out there, and you tend to have a lot better luck just growing them without fighting the deer.
And so, there's lots of folks who don't live in the city that can constantly fighting to do. How about cooking with the native plants? I looking at your book, one of your recommendations I thought was pretty interesting, which is don't procrastinate. A lot of us do that with our gardens anyway, but I imagine if you're talking about things that are growing naturally, that they're when they're ripe, they're ripe. Is that in essence what you're saying?
Yes, I am. I'm saying that it's actually a good excuse to step away from the computer screen. We all love our screens and rely on them every day. But when you realize that you do have a window of time in which you can go outside and collect these plants, so you need to pay attention. Notice that you maybe only have a 2-week or 3-week window in which to take a walk. And then a lot of them store well, so you can gather them. As long as you go outside at the right time of the year, you can gather them when they're ripe and then dry them or freeze them and use them in recipes throughout the year.
And what's out there right now for somebody in the Sacramento region or in the foothills or even over in Nevada, what would they be finding?
Well, surprisingly, the winter still holds a lot of delicious native foods. You can have toyon is one of my favorites, and it grows in abundance here and is also planted in many people's landscapes because it has these beautiful red berries. Mm. So I brought you and Beth this gift basket of wild foods, and one of the items in it...
It does fit the season, too.
Yes, it does, is these bright red toyon berries. So with toyon berries, you can make a delicious cider out of those. And you just let the berries dry. And I've got the recipe on your website, too.
Oh, very nice. So, and are there other things that are unusual that people will find out in the woods or just out in nature?
Yeah, there's some other delicious things to enjoy right now, which are... manzanita is one of my favorite. There's still some berries. It tends to be a late fall plant, and that grows a little higher in the foothills. But I brought you some cider to taste from the manzanita.
We want to try that in just a second. I wanted to ask you about making this cider before
please.
We taste it. So, by the way, I am talking with Alicia Funk. She's the co-author of the book Living Wild: Gardening, Cooking, and Healing with Native Plants of California. And you brought us manzanita cider. And so, what does it take to take manzanita berries and become this cider that you brought us?
Well, surprisingly little. That's the amazing thing about it. There's very little processing needed. But I do work with many of my indigenous friends that basically tell me their family recipes. And that's one of my sources for the book and the information in the book. Are the Native Americans that are really the experts on holding this information. So this is a raw manzanita cider, and the way it is prepared is just by grinding the berries, doing a rough grind, covering them with cold water, and letting them steep for 4 hours.
And that's essentially it.
There's no sweetener added to this, and you're going to notice how sweet it tastes.
It smells... It actually has a soft kind of wildness to it.
Manzanita means little apple, and it is the same color, really, as apple juice. And
ooh, that's delicious. It has a sense of a tea-ness to it. Like there's a little bit of the tannins that, tea has that sort of grindy. And it has a light sweetness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's kind of earthy in its own way. It actually, oddly enough, it tastes... It tastes like this time of year. It tastes sort of like late fall, early winter. It seems like it would be really good sitting around the fire.
Yes, you can drink it hot or cold. So you can heat it up. This time of year, it's nice hot. And in the summer, I prepare it, and keep it cold in our fridge. And that's our drink of choice for the hot summer days as well.
Yeah, there's a hint of baking spices in there, too. I like that. That's very nice.
So if you'd like to taste, this is the manzanita sugar that I make as well. And this is also from a rough grind of the berries. And you can see you can make a berry powder out of it. The sugar is really the powder inside the red berries.
And then the sugar is, it's a sort of a dusty tan, and there's little flecks of red in there. And it's really soft. Let's taste this. Mm. Oh, it's nice because it's not super sweet, and it still has that little sort of earthiness behind it and a little berryness behind it, too. A manzanita berry sugar is now like my new favorite thing.
And it's great. You can bake with it. And like I said, both the cider and the sugar, you're looking at getting all of your antioxidants that you need for the day as well as living locally.
All right. So the book is tips on how to grow this, how to cook with it, and also how to use it for medicine. And we've only got about another minute, but can you talk a little bit about using native plants for medicine?
Yes. I mean, with all of the native plants, similar to what Daniel was mentioning with the fungi, it's really important to know what you're gathering. So I would say never gather anything from the wild that unless you're 100% sure of its identification. And even better, grow it in your own backyard. But for medicine, again, one thing that we forget about is that there really is an abundance of medicine right around in the Sacramento area and throughout the foothills. So whenever I get a cold or a cough, there's plants that I turn to like Yerba Santa that are a forgotten weed that has a long history of use in this region as a decongestant. So that's just one example. And then we can't forget the acorn because that's my absolute favorite. And you can still find some acorns on the ground. I call them oak nuts now. I've renamed them. They are the nut from an oak tree. And as soon as you say acorns, people think squirrels. But if you say oak nuts, they think, oh, maybe something gourmet I could eat for dinner. So I'll leave you with this.
They're basically
chocolate-covered acorns or oak nuts.
The book is the newly released second edition of Living Wild, Gardening, Cooking, and Healing with Native Plants of California by Alicia Funk and Karen Kaufman. 100% of the book's profits go to to support California's Native Plant Society, which is based in Sacramento. We have a link to the book and more information on our website, which is capradio.org/insight. Alicia, thanks for all that. That was fun and delicious.
Thanks, Rick.
You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. Coming up, the Sacramento Theater Company's production of It's a Wonderful Life, and it's a musical.
Valley and foothill highs will be in the low to mid 60s today, low 50s for the Tahoe region, and close to 70 degrees today in San Francisco.